Bibles to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 1. We'll continue there today. July the 4th, Independence Day. 13 colonies free from the tyrannical rule of King George. Free from the tyrannical rule of British Parliament, and they insisted there would be no taxation without what? Representation. Civics class. And it took battle, and it took the loss of life, and freedom was gained, and a nation was formed. So happy 4th of July to all of you. And we thank God for his providential working in our land. And we pray for revival. We pray that he would have mercy and that we would be a land of repentance from our sin, which is heinous. When we think of those that are murdered and aborted, when we think of how unloving we are, that we don't love God first or love our neighbors, let us all repent and look to him and look for his blessing. Our text today points to an even greater independence than the independence from England. It talks about a greater evil than King George. It talks about battle and a loss of life. And it's a loss of life that brings us into a kingdom that can never be lost or taken away. Look at Mark 1, starting in verse 21. And they went into Capernaum. And immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching. And he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him, crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands, and even unclean spirits, they obey him." And at once, his fame spread everywhere throughout the whole surrounding region of Galilee. So here's Jesus' teaching ministry. We've seen it before. We saw where he went after he was baptized and after his time in the desert being tempted. He preached, "The kingdom of God is at hand." He preached, "Repent and believe the gospel." And here we see him teaching again. He's teaching in Capernaum, we're told. His teaching displays amazing authority. It's unlike the Jewish scribes. His observers hear it, and they're amazed. And so we're going to see his teaching. We're going to see what happens while he's teaching and his work of casting this demon out. And then we're going to see what happens after that. So 3 points. We've already seen Jesus' teaching ministry. It's been there already in the book of Mark, and now we're told he's in Capernaum. It's the village of Nahum, you know, the Old Testament prophet. It means the village of consolation. And again, here's Jesus. Here's Jesus preaching, teaching. And this time, it's not just open public sermons, it is in the synagogue. He's in the synagogue teaching, and his teaching takes center stage. Here's the pattern. A predetermined portion of the law would have been read. Then Jesus would have identified his desire to say something, to speak. He would have been granted permission, which would have been a marker that he was already recognized. He would have stood. He would have opened a scroll. He would have read a passage, perhaps from the prophets. And he would have sat down, and he would have explained what he read, and he would have applied it to the hearers. We see the same thing in Luke chapter 4, verse 21. Remember that? Where Jesus reads from Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. And he sits down and tells them, this is fulfilled in your hearing. The one who's going to bind up hearts, set the prisoner free. It's me. But here in Capernaum, we're not told what text he reads or what he's saying. But we are told what the effect is. Verse 22. This one has authority, not like the scribes. So he's here, he's in the synagogue, he's in Capernaum. They're hearing Jesus now. They're not hearing their evasive, manipulative scribes. Those teachers that Jesus called out in the Sermon on the Mount, they're not hearing them. They notice the difference between Jesus and their scribes. Those ones who would say, well, love your neighbor but hate your enemy. They recognize the difference. They recognize the difference between Jesus and the ones who would distort the law and the laws of God. They would lie. They would practice righteousness only in front of other people in order to be seen by people. And instead, now they're hearing the truth. The truth. The truth of God. The one who, John 14, 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They're hearing him. The Messiah, Jesus, who John 18, 27, Jesus said, for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I came into the world to bear witness to the truth. And everyone who listens to the truth listens to my voice. And here they are in the synagogue in Capernaum, and they hear his voice. And they say, what authority? This is not like our scribes. It's not like our scribes who completely lacked love. Mark 12, 40 says they would devour widows' houses and make a pretense for long prayers. He wasn't like those who had a disregard for the poor and the needy. They cared nothing about the cripple except to ask, hey, why are you carrying your mat on the Sabbath? He's not like them. Who are they hearing? They're hearing Jesus. Not just the Jesus who was loving, but Jesus who is love. John, 1 John 4:16. God is love. Imagine the difference. Imagine hearing the difference between those corrupt scribes and the perfect Son of God. They recognize it. They hit it. Do you hear this authority? Instead of those people who told fables and myths and rambling genealogies, and they wanted to seem very wise in everyone else's eyes, here's the one who is the fount of all knowledge. He didn't have to sit there and say, well, Rabbi Hillel says, Rabbi Shammai says, no. He wasn't like that. He didn't have to say, Dr. So-and-so says this, Dr. So-and-so. No.
They're hearing the God-man, Jesus of Nazareth. He's explaining his own word to them. He doesn't have to rely on other experts. He could say, my word says, let me explain to you what my word means. Here's what my word says. He could say, I say to you this, and mean it. Jesus is speaking with an authority, not an authority of those people who have gone before him, not the authority of those people who have trained him, not the authority of some group or some denomination. He is speaking with all the authority of God himself. And they hear it, and they recognize it. What authority. Instead of hearing, you know, Jeremiah 2, verse 13, paints those false shepherds as broken cisterns that hold no water. So instead of those broken cisterns that just have the putrid dregs in the very bottom, the dregs that would never satisfy the thirst of any man's heart, here they're drinking from the very fountain of living waters. Jesus opening his word and proclaiming it to them. And they know it. So I just pause there and say, do you? They recognize his voice and they heard his authority. Do you know his voice? Do you know his voice? Or are you like the spouse who has grown weary over years and no longer hears the voice of your spouse, but a drone in the background? Or do you know the voice of Jesus? Have you heard him call you? Come to life. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You know that voice? Are you familiar with that voice? Do you know his voice? That when you pick up the scriptures, it's his word. And it's sweet. And it's good. Verse 21, and when they went to Capernaum, immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching, and they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. That brings us to the second part. What happens? Here we see Jesus' work on display. Not his teaching, but his work. But look at verse 23. And immediately, there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be silent and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out. So we've already seen previously in Mark, Jesus in the wilderness, tempted by the devil, defeating the devil at every turn. So we shouldn't be surprised now that we see the devil doing everything possible to oppose Christ and to oppose the kingdom of Christ. So here they are in the synagogue, and notice the word again, immediately. Immediately. Immediately, as Christ is teaching, there is a man there possessed by demons. And friends, isn't that interesting? Where is this man who's possessed by demons? He's right there. He's in the congregation. He's in the synagogue. He's quite comfortable there. Had Jesus not shown up, no doubt he would have demonically continued to be happy, going on with business as usual. But it's not business as usual. Jesus has shown up. Christ is here. The kingdom of God is at hand. And the demonic spirit cries out, why do you bother us, Jesus? Jesus of Nazareth. What do you have to do with us? So here's a demon. And let's just point that out right now. This isn't like poor Mark is from the ancient world, and he still believed those kind of things. We recognize There is one true and living God. The devil is real. Demons are real. Perhaps you get nervous of thinking like that. Perhaps you think, well, this sounds like a fundamentalist. No, this is what the Bible lays out. There is a man who is possessed by a demon. And notice this, this demon knows who Jesus is. He says, Jesus of Nazareth. Now, he probably doesn't mean that in a critical way, like Nathanael. Remember Nathanael said, can any good thing come from Nazareth? It's probably not what he means, but it is possible, isn't it? Wouldn't that be just like the evil one sowing doubt? So that the people hear it and say, well, wow, that was so authoritative. But he is from Nazareth, you know. Enough said there. But certainly, he generally knows who Jesus is. He asks, did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. So he's not just Jesus who has come down from Nazareth, but he is Jesus who has come from the bosom of the Father. He is Jesus who has just come from resisting the temptation of the devil. He is Jesus who has come to seek and save the lost. He is the promised Messiah. He's the faithful and true. He is the judge of all. He says, have you come to destroy us? Are you here to cast us into the abyss? Isn't it amazing that the devil knows good doctrine? He knows. He knows there's a day of judgment. The demons know. Hell is prepared for the devil and his demons. What have you to do with us? He asks. Well, they've got nothing to do with Christ. They've got nothing to do with his salvation. They share no part in his life. They share nothing to do in his kingdom. But he's got something to do with them. He's going to show his authority over them. And with a word, they are expelled. The evil spirit expelled. The evil spirit says, I know who you are. You know they're not lying, right? James chapter 2, verse 19 says that you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. They know, they believe. They believe with trembling. Now that's a belief that's not unto salvation. There is a belief that's true, but the end is judgment. Jesus is the Holy One. He's the Holy One who's come from the Father. He's perfect. He's sinless. He's the source of virtue for all others. Psalm 16:10, the Messiah says to the Father, you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor let your Holy One see corruption. This is the words of the Messiah to the Father, the Holy One. That's the language that's used. But he's also the Holy One in another sense. You know what the word holy means? Separate. Separated. Apart. Set apart. And here's Jesus of Nazareth. He has been separated for the task for which his Father has sent him. And the demon knows. I want to pause right here and ask, do you know this Christ? The demon knew who he was. Do you know who Christ is? I love J.C. Ryle here. He says, the mere belief of facts and doctrines of Christianity will never save your soul. Such belief is no better than the belief of devils. They all believe and they know Jesus is the Christ. They believe that one day he will judge the world and he will cast them down to endless torment and hell. It is a solemn and sorrowful thought that on these points some professing Christians have less faith than the devil. There are some who doubt the reality of hell. They doubt eternal punishment. Such doubts as these find no place except in the hearts of self-willed men and women. There is no infidelity among the devils. They believe and they tremble. So let us take heed of our faith.
that it be a faith of the heart as well as the head. Let us see that our knowledge has a sanctifying influence on our affections and our lives. Let us not only know Christ, let us love Christ. It's not enough to say, yeah, I know these facts are true. Do you love him? Let us not only believe that he is the Son of God and the Savior of the world, but rejoice in him and cleave to him with purpose in the heart. Not only to be acquainted with him by the hearing of the ear, but by daily personal application to him for mercy and grace. The life of the Christian, Luther says, consists of possessive pronouns. It is one thing to say Christ is a Savior. It is quite another thing to say he is my Savior. He is my Lord. And the devil can say the first. Only a true Christian can say the second. Do you know him? Do you have a mental knowledge of him? Or do you have a loving, from the heart, relationship with Christ? Have you looked to him and him alone? Do you believe on, not just in him, but do you believe on him, that he is your only hope for salvation? Is there love in your heart for him? The one who can take care of all your sins and make you right with God. Do you know him that way? The demons know him, but they don't know him savingly. Do you know him savingly? I mean, here's a guy in the synagogue in Capernaum. Should we not think that here there are people who don't love Christ savingly? If that's you, friends, do that now. Look to him and cry out to him, save me. I don't want to just know about you. I believe in you and on you for my salvation. Notice Christ's response. If that talk of the devil and demons makes you a little nervous, do you notice Christ's response? Be silent and come out of him. You hear that? Peace. I want silence. And with a convulsion and a scream, the demon departs. That's an amazing scene, isn't it? And what an effect it had on these witnesses. Remember here, what they heard his teaching, they were affected. They said, wow, what authority. This isn't like our scribes. Now, what's their reaction to his work? He cast out this demon. Verse 27 says, and they were all amazed. They marveled. Hendrickson translates it, they were dumbfounded. You might say, they were flabbergasted. That's a great word. But that's what takes place. Who is this? Who can do this kind of thing? Who can speak? And even the demons are obliged to obey him. Who can expel demons with a word? Who can just say, shut your mouth and come out, and he comes out? Who can do that? Who can command demons that they can't resist? Who has that kind of authority? Who commands? Whose commands carry this kind of power? Well, what do you make of this? What kind of person is this? Sadly, in our text, they don't give an answer. They never give an answer to who it is. But friends, this morning, we do have an answer to who this is. We do know who this is. Who is it that commands demons and they obey? Who has strength and might? Whose truth is greater than all? Whose power is greater than all? We do know who it is. Who can speak and the kingdom of darkness is dispelled? Whose kingdom is supreme and never be toppled? We've got an answer. That God alone is our strength and our helper. This is Luther's words. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For
still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft, his power, the devil's power, it's great. He's armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Well, God will be our strength. The trouble, all the trouble that the devil brings, even with his great craft, his great might, his power, even though he's filled with all the hatred, if I'm going to rebuff the devil, if I'm going to resist him, if I am going to overcome him, my help's got to come from above, not from below. On earth is not his equal, but from heaven is his better. Did we on our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. You ask who this may be? Let me tell you, Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth his name, from age to age the same. He must win the battle. Who is this with all this authority? Well, friends, our strength would fail us if we fought against the devil. But let me tell you who must win the battle. It is Jesus Christ, the Holy One of God. He will win the battle. And though this whole world is filled with devils, and they threaten to undo us, we'll not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we won't tremble for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. So even if this whole world were filled with demons and devils, and let me tell you, when you walk in downtown Lexington, you may feel like it is. And when you drive down the street and you see this world has changed, it ain't the same. Well, it's always been there. But we see it more boldly and blatantly than ever before. Even as this whole world is filled with devils, I don't need to fear. I'll triumph through them. How? Through God. Matter of fact, even if the devil himself comes against us, I won't tremble. I will not fear. Why? His doom is sure. We know who he is. We know who he is. Who is this? It's the God-man, the one who created all things. He has authority over all things. Holy Jesus, Savior, victorious King. We see his teaching. We see his work. And you see what happens after that? It's there in verse 28. The news cannot be contained in Capernaum. That news spread over all of Galilee. It said, immediately, this news spread like wildfire. Luke 4:37, in every place of the surrounding region, this news goes. The news of Jesus spreads in no time at all. So no Instagram, no Twitter, no video clips, no YouTube, no podcast, no text, no emails, no broadcast. The word spreads mouth to mouth, person to person. And in no time at all, the fame of who this authoritative miracle worker that was in Capernaum, it spreads through the whole region. Well, friends, how's that going? How's that going? These people with incomplete news, they don't know who is this. Who has this kind of authority? They don't know. And even with their incomplete knowledge, that news spreads through the whole region. What about us? We've got a complete message, don't we? We know the whole message. How's this going? We've received a commission and instruction to go make disciples. How's it going? We got the whole message. We proclaim a whole Christ. At the end of the day, friends, the image that prevails is not a scroll for his teaching. It's not some kind of sign of might over casting out demons. You know what the prevailing symbol? It's a cross. The God-ordained image, bread and wine, pointing to the victory of this same Jesus of Nazareth on the cross over all the powers of darkness, over all of our sin, and pointing us to a great day to come. We've got a complete story. A complete story, a story that tells us your Creator has come, the Holy One of God, the Messiah, and He lived a perfect life. He is holy. He was tempted in every way as we were, yet without sin. We got a complete story that tells us about this Holy One, the perfect Savior who dies on a cross, the same one who resisted temptation and cast out demons. Well, He dealt the devil the ultimate blow and defeated him by taking his worst and defeating the devil's greatest power, which is death. Jesus of Nazareth. He was crucified. He was crucified by sinful men, by the hands of sinful men with sinful hearts doing Satan's bidding. The complete message that says Jesus couldn't just hang on the cross and say, well, the devil has me here hanging, or these wicked men have me here hanging. For it was on the cross that He was under the judgment of God. The deepest stroke that pierced Him was the stroke that justice gave. Indeed, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. That's what the law of God said. That is what pricked against His conscience. And when He had drunk the cup of wrath to the very last drop, that cup is poured out on Him. The complete story says that He cries out, it is finished and it's all done. His work is all done. The sacrifice for sins complete. He is high and lifted up. He's drawing all men to Himself. Will you look at Him? Will you look at Him? Will you look at Him on the cross? All nations, look to Him. Everyone in this room, look to Him. You, look to Him. The complete message says that Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, the Holy One of God, was buried in a cold tomb. The Creator of all things has a body, and it is lifeless in the earth. The complete message says that on the third day, He rises again. And the Father says His amen, that everything Christ has done, it is enough. The justice of God is satisfied. The offense of the broken law is dealt with. It's paid for. The complete message is that Jesus is alive, and He's alive forevermore, that He has been raised, and He's been raised to an indestructible life. That's the complete message. The complete message says He gives eternal life to all who repent and trust in Him. He doesn't just give life. He protects you. In fact, all that the Father gives to Him will come to Him. And guess what? He will never cast them out. The complete story. He takes you, trusting saint. He takes you, believing saint. He takes you into His kingdom. And His kingdom is forever. Do you know this Christ? And if you do, how's it going? Is the news spreading? Are you fine keeping this news to yourself, this complete message? Do not be outdone by some bewildered, unconverted Galileans. If you know Him, make Him known. The gospel to every home. Make Him known. Tell you today, as you're at your cookout, will you tell your family of the power of God and the mercy of God that comes to us in Christ? Will you tell your friends? Will you tell your neighbors? And may Jesus Christ be praised. This is who Jesus is. Believe on Him and tell it to others. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we praise You, for You are good and glorious. We thank You for Christ, Jesus who has all authority in heaven and on earth, Jesus who speaks to demons and they depart, Jesus who gives life to everyone, and is seen in repentance, is seen in belief, is seen in following. And Lord, let it be seen in our lives by telling others. Lord, we thank You for the complete story. that we know who Christ is. I pray for those in this room. Lord, may they not just have the faith of demons, but may they have saving faith in Christ today. May they look to Christ and trust and believe. And I pray for the saints in this room. Lord, I pray that our confidence in Jesus would grow, that we would know the reality of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of darkness, and that we would know the might and the power, the authority, and the victory that is Christ's. And may we go forth boldly proclaiming good news to all in Jesus' name. Lord, let us even let goods and kindred go. Even this mortal life. Because we believe your kingdom is forever. That we will be victorious because Christ is victorious. And he's the lover of our souls. And we love him as our Savior. Amen. Well, let's stand.